Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus as we intend to encourage, to warn, to give out God's truth, to be a blessing each day and to make known His word and His way. One of the things we want to mention today on the program in our devotional section of the Light for the Pathway broadcast is that, again, we'd like to talk about how powerful sin is. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, by this man's disobedience, sin entered into the world by one man, Romans 5:12. And this one entrance has brought death to the entire human race. There is not a group of people anywhere on the earth who is not affected, not afflicted with death coming in. This is a clear indication that all men came from one. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. And there are so many who think that they can manage sin. We remind you again that sin always takes you further down the road of degradation and destruction than you ever planned to go. It always keeps you longer in its grip than you ever planned to stay. It always demands of you more than you ever intended to give. That's what sin does. And sin is a destroyer. Many times we look around and we talk with people who have given themselves over to a sin. They say, I never intended for it to happen this way. They kept going close to the edge and moving close to the edge until they fell over. And indeed, we need to pray for those who are in the grips of sin and who think that they can control sin and that they can manage it, that they ride it like they do a horse and they are or a motorcycle of some sort, some kind of toy. We use this to get me where I want to go, and then I'll dismount and put it in the shed somewhere and I'm done with it. No. You think you're arriving at your destination and you've used sin to accomplish your purpose? No. Sin says, oh, I got some more pleasure for you right around the bend. Keep on riding. Stay on. Don't stop here. You ride on and there's something else. Okay, that's great. Yeah, what's one more time? What's one more day? And then you stay that day and sin makes another promise. If I can just get one more round out of this, then I'll be done with it. That's the way sin, the deceitfulness of sin. God tells us that. So if you're in sin, if you are relying on sin to help you do something, please be reminded of this truth, that sin is deceitful. The deceitful lusts of sin. You lust for more, and you cannot have. And you think that, yes, one more drop in this cup and it'll be full. No, there's something about it. The cup gets bigger. The drop doesn't, you need more than one drop. The cup seems to grow larger when you're drinking of sin or trying to fill up a cup with sin. Sin brings destruction. Father, we pray that someone will listen to this message today and forsake the error of sin and look to the Lord for deliverance. For our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus, can deliver from the grips of sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now turn, please, in your Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. We were looking at Abraham's intercessory prayer. When Abraham is talking to the Lord, and he asks the Lord, "Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Now, see, the Lord is the one who has put a difference between the righteous and the wicked. This difference was not something that man dreamt. It is something that God did. When the Lord saved the soul of the righteous, by so doing, he put in that soul the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit is he who sets us apart from the world. He sets us apart. Abraham drew near, and the Lord said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" "Peradventure," says Abraham, "there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy it and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?" So he, of course, appeals to the Lord on the basis of the nature of God. He knows that God is a righteous judge. When you approach God in your prayers, do you approach him based upon his nature? Do you ask him for things that you know are according to his nature? You don't ask him for ungodly things, do you? You don't ask him to do sinful things, do you? Some people do. Some people will ask the Lord to do wicked things. They think the Lord will work like they won't want to work witchcraft and want something bad to happen to a person who does certain things. No, the Lord places his people in the midst of people who are in need of help. Did you ever look at it this way, that way? You might be in the middle of a family that's filled with trouble, and you might have even been tempted to say, "I would that I were in another family." No, if you are a Christian, the Lord has you there. You're on a mission. You're his soldier. You're standing in the gap. You are to declare his truth. You are to be a testimony for Christ. Now, be a good soldier. Be a good soldier. Be on the battlefield for my Lord. Stand on the battlefield. You will win because you're on the Lord's side. Now, a soldier has to fight a hot battle. And there's a bleeding, shooting, wounding battle going on. People need the Lord. Be willing to go in declaring God's truth. And don't be thinking about yourself. Say, "But I could get my feelings hurt." So, what are your feelings when it comes time to balancing out the scales of a soul? I was looking in studying a book this morning and looking at how that the author of this book was teaching how various weights and coins measured up. And on one side of a scale or something like a little seesaw, he had in the middle a fulcrum that you could place this one coin on one side. And let's say, for example, you know, in school, grade school, when they were teaching you how to count money, maybe they would put a nickel on one side, and then on the other side of the balance, they would put five pennies. Well, you know, when you start looking at your feelings on one side and a soul on the other side, which has the greater weight? You say, "My feelings." No, you know better than that. You know that the soul of a person is worth more than any little hurt that you'll ever get. Someone hurts your feelings. Go after their soul for Christ's sake. Give the gospel to them. I'm saying this for me as well. Preaching the gospel, living the gospel, carrying the gospel to the lost. As Abraham here interceded, he was appealing to the Lord on the basis of what he knew was the nature of God, and he was not ashamed to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, would you spare it for 50's sake?" He approached God, and then he was not ashamed to even ask again for 50's sake. "The Lord is going to do right," he said. And then after that, he thought perchance, well, Lord, peradventure, 28 of chapter 18, peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I will find 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And notice the Lord does not say, well, let me think about this. Let me ponder this question. No, he doesn't say that. He just goes ahead and he says, I won't destroy it for 40 and 5's sake. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. He said, well, I will not do it for 40's sake. And the Lord is ready, waiting, listening, answering Abraham's prayer as he pleads. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Now, isn't it strange that we should think that the Lord would be angry at us for asking him to have mercy when he is the God of mercy and he delights in showing mercy? He delights in saving souls. Isn't it strange that we should be feeling that we will be bothering the Lord when we ask him for help, when he wants to give us help? Isn't it strange? In verse 31, and he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. The Lord didn't say, now look, Abraham, how many times are you going to change? Abraham didn't know how many were there. And so he proceeded on down this list, and he said, verse 32, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. You see, the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked shall turn, shall repent. That's what the Lord delights in, men repenting and bringing glory to him by honoring and worshiping and pleasing and serving him. You give your life to Christ Jesus the Lord. And he says, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way. Now notice, look how, if you were to stop reading there, you'll say, okay, the Lord said 10 as far as he was going. No, look. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. As soon as he had left communing with Abraham. He didn't tell Abraham to stop asking. Abraham was concerned that the Lord was going to be offended that Abraham was asking so much from the Lord. Please don't worry about asking too much of God. Now, don't ask him to do anything contrary to his nature. But don't be afraid to ask the Lord to do great and mighty things. We're living in a day where I want to hear from God. I want to hear from heaven. I've read of how he has worked in days gone by. I want to see the Lord God of heaven work again today. He's the same. His word is the same word that was used, and he can work. And we want to keep asking, keep trusting. Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name again today for thy blessings and thy power upon thy people. Hear from heaven, I pray. And Lord, send revival for Jesus' sake. Amen. Join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina, 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard. May the Lord bless you.